You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 oh.
So, it's late at night. You're hungry. You wish you had, I don't know what you want, chips and salsa maybe, maybe some frozen burritos, and you just don't have any. You know what you could do? You could call Postmates. Don't call them. They don't have a phone number. Get the app in your app store or what's it called, Google Play? So get the Postmates app, and Postmates is your personal food delivery, grocery delivery, whatever kind of delivery service all year round. Anything you're craving, Postmates will deliver it to you. They are the largest on-demand network in the U.S., and they offer delivery from all the restaurants, grocery and convenience stores, and traditional retailers you could possibly want or need. So 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, 366 days a year if it's a leap year, Postmates will bring you whatever you need within the hour. No more trips to the store. You don't even have to know where the store is. But honestly, if you don't know where the store is, you need to get out more. But Postmates will deliver anything to you. So download the app for iOS or Android for free. Browse local restaurants and businesses and track your delivery in real time. And for a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Download Postmates and save with the code LOCKEDON. Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, along with Vince Semperi of Chavez Ravine Fiends, and we want to tell you that the postseason is brought to you by Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code POSTSEASON at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100. Vince, with all that out of the way, how the heck are you?
I'm nervous. I'm anxious. I feel like before game one, except a little bit, everything's a little bit heightened.
Yeah, basically it's down to as if they were in the wild card game now. It's one game for all the marbles, and it's a lot of marbles when you think about it. The Dodgers have gone to the World Series the last 2 years. And even though, you know, we knew coming in the Nationals were a scary matchup in a short series because of their starting pitching, it would still be undeniably a letdown and a disappointment if they don't make it at least to the World Series again. So we are going to talk a little bit about this Game 5 that happens later today. We'll talk about the pitching matchup. It's a great one. Kind of makes me wish I didn't care who won and I could just watch it for the great pitching matchup, but I do care who wins, so I hope Steven Strasburg gets lit up. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about what we think will happen with the Dodgers lineup, some of the things that Dave Roberts said on Media Day yesterday, and a few things like that. We're just going to basically preview today's Game 5 and hope that it is not our last non-depressed episode for a while. So should we jump right in, Vince?
Yeah, but don't we have something else for our listeners?
Oh, yeah, we do. I'm so glad you're here, Vince. Vince, I can't even pronounce your name. Later in this episode, we are going to play you a preview of Locked On Kings. We are super excited about Locked On's newest podcast covering the NHL. So we will, at the end of this episode, have a preview for you of Locked On Kings. But that's for later. So now, Vince, can we talk about the Dodgers?
Yeah, let's get into it.
All right.
Yeah, I'm right on board with you. Somebody told me yesterday, oh, yeah, Scherzer and, I mean, Strasburg and Buehler, that's a good matchup. That's going to be some fun baseball. And I said, yeah, if I was, as a fan of baseball, it's a great matchup and it's a great game of baseball. As a fan of one of the teams involved, it's probably not going to be that fun for most of the game. Hopefully it is early on, but yeah, there's a lot going on with that pitching matchup, but like I said, it's going to be fun to watch. I have all the faith in Walker Buehler and not as much faith in the offense, But realistically, as long as they play their game and kind of do what they've been trying to do this whole series, which is get to the Nationals bullpen, I think the Dodgers will be fine in that aspect. And Walker Buehler just has to – I think the biggest thing for him is just to control his emotions and not get too ramped up.
Yeah, I was telling somebody on Twitter today, Walker Buehler is not going to be overwhelmed by the moment. He, you know, he has that attitude, that cockiness that you want in this situation. So there won't be a lack of confidence. Whether that means good execution or not, we'll have to see. But hopefully he can just pitch his game, and the fact that he's not intimidated will work in his favor. One thing that I think works in the Dodgers' favor, and I don't know if it's wishful thinking or not, but either way, it's a Dodgers podcast, so I'm going to say it. The reason Strasburg was so successful on whatever day that was, Friday, was that he got the Dodgers out of doing Dodger things. The Dodgers, for the last several years, have actually been really good at not chasing pitches out of the strike zone. And Strasburg got them to chase a lot of pitches out of the strike zone. Now, that's because he has really good stuff that's hard to read. But I do have hope that because the Dodgers just saw Strasburg a few days ago, that they will be able to basically have a little bit better pitch recognition, pick up on that changeup, especially for the lefties. He throws that changeup to lefties, and it's a great changeup. But he never throws it in a way that it ends up in the strike zone. And so if they can pick up that it's a changeup, they can just spit on it all night long. And so that's what I'm hoping, that they will have a little bit better pitch recognition. Because if they can do that and force Strasburg to come into the zone, I mean, the Dodgers can hit fastballs. We're not, you know, I think I saw on the broadcast the other day that they were the best team in baseball against fastballs this year. And so I don't have concerns about Strasburg's fastball. It's just if they can make him throw the fastball to them.
Yeah, that's really what it's going to come down to. And really what we've seen when they do struggle in the postseason is swinging out a lot of pitches in the dirt, kind of getting out of their element and, you know, getting behind in counts, having some quick innings. I mean, there's Scherzer got through seven last game, and not till the seventh did they really make him work anything extra. And then even in game two, Strasburg was pulled after six, right? But probably could have went seven with pitch count, but he was pitching on short rest, so they took him out maybe a little earlier than usual. So, yeah, it's really banking on the Dodgers doing their homework and recognizing what they saw in game two and, you know, just coming down to execution and trying to get one or two runs off him in the early goings and try to get him off his game. You know, I don't think Strasburg's ever pitched twice in one postseason series. So, and three times in the last week or so. So, you know, that's something different for him, and he's thrown a full season going. So hopefully, like I said, he's a little bit not as sharp, and the Dodgers are a little bit better than they were in game two, and they can get to him.
Yeah, one thing it seems like always happens, and I don't know if this is accurate or if it's just something that it seems like, is when you have a really hyped pitching matchup, it never quite fits the bill, and at least one of the pitchers struggles. So I'm really hoping that it's Strasburg today struggling. So I think when we come back, we'll talk about the lineups and stuff Dave Roberts said. But before we go to break, if you don't have tickets yet to go to Game 5, it's not too late. Unless you're listening to this after the game happens. But assuming you're listening to it first thing in the morning, like you should, it's not too late to get tickets. And the place you should get them is Vivid Seats. It's an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. So you can be at Game 5 of the Dodgers Nationals Series, and you can even get a discount because you listen to our show. Vivid Seats offers great prices and easy purchasing experience, as well as an in-app loyalty program called Vivid Seats Rewards. You are enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards program automatically just by downloading the app from the App Store or Google Play. And you can get rewards. You can earn up to 10 to 16% credit on all your purchases through the app. So, and also, Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by 100% guarantee. So, enter promo code POSTSEASON at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100. Download the Vivid Seats app, and we will be right back.
All right, I'm going to take it back to the salt and pepper days, and let's talk about sex. For some of you, that may have been around the time where your glory days were. For some of you, you might not even know who salt and pepper is. But regardless of all that, I'm here to tell you how you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. BlueChew.com. That's blue, like Dodger blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know it works, and you can take it whenever, with whatever's in your stomach, whatever's going on in your life. It's chewable, they work twice as fast as a pill, and you can be ready whenever the mood hits. This isn't for guys who can't perform, it's for any guy who wants that extra boost in the bedroom. It's like a little adrenaline rush, like if you're on the mound in Game 7 of the World Series and you know the crowd's going crazy and you get that extra adrenaline rush, that's what it's like. And it's easy. It's prescribed online, shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. No weird doctor's visits, no talking about your sex life, no waiting in the pharmacy and maybe seeing somebody you know from high school, none of that awkwardness. It's all made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, it's cheaper than a pharmacy. And right now, we've got a special deal for all you listeners. You can go to BlueChew.com, get your first shipment free with the promo code MLB. All you have to do is pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring Locked On Dodgers.
All right, we are back. Before we talk more about Game 5, we're going to do a quick obscure former Dodger of the day. I got to thinking about not the last time the Dodgers and Nats had a winner-take-all Game 5. That was just, 3 years ago? And we know how that one ended. I was thinking about the time before that, back when the Nationals were the Expos. And in 1981, the NLCS back then was the best of five. And the Dodgers and Expos went to that Game 5. Let's see how it went. Yeah, so not quite the same. Dodgers won the first game, lost the second game, lost the third game, and won the fourth game to force a Game 5. And then in Game 5, they won 2-1. And I was looking at who played for the Dodgers that day, trying to find an obscure Dodger. And I'll tell you what, there are not many obscure people who played in that game. They only used 11 players. Fernando almost pitched a complete game. He came out with two outs in the ninth inning after two walks in a 2-1 game. But the person I'm going to go with is... do you know how the Dodgers won that game, Vince?
That Blue Monday?
Yep. Rick Monday hit a home run in the top of the ninth inning, a solo homer to go up 2-1. Did you know, after hitting that home run, he then got pulled out of the game for defensive reasons? The Dodgers took Monday out and put in Kenny Landreau to play center field in the bottom of the ninth, and he didn't get any
action. Got the last out, right?
What?
Oh, I thought he got the last out.
No, he didn't get any action, but he did get into the game. And Kenny Landreau is our obscure former Dodger of the day today. He was still the Dodger center fielder when I started watching baseball. He was their main center fielder from basically 1982 through 87, but he played a lot in 81 too. He had come over from the Twins, played with the Angels before that. He's still around. You still see him at the stadium once in a while. He'll show up and do autographs and stuff for different things. He's still associated with the Dodgers. But the most interesting thing about Kenny Landreau is in 1981, when the Twins traded him to the Dodgers, actually in 79, he was traded by the Angels to the Twins, and that's how the Angels got back Rod Carew. So that's an interesting one. But in 1981, when the Twins traded him to the Dodgers, he was traded for three guys, two guys who never made the major leagues, and one guy named Mickey Hatcher. Mickey Hatcher went from the Dodgers to the Twins. As we know, he later came back to the Dodgers and was a big part of the 1988 World Championship team. But the reason I mention this trade is because the two minor leaguers he was traded for were Matthew Reeves and a guy named Kelly Snyder, who even spelled Snyder correctly, which most people don't. And believe it or not, this Kelly Snyder is not my sister-in-law, although I do have a sister-in-law named Kelly Snyder. So that's Kenny Landreau, your obscure former Dodger of the day. Whew, we got through that. So now let's talk about some obscure current Dodgers and some less obscure current Dodgers. Dave Roberts, in the media sessions, he said he has not yet decided whether or not A.J. Pollock will start Game 5. Do you believe that, Vince?
I want to not believe it, and I do not believe it. But there's just a slight doubt in the back of my mind that the stupid, he was 4-for-11 against Strasburg, is going to come back and rear its ugly head and get Pollock in the lineup somehow.
Yeah, I just cannot even fathom the possibility of AJ Pollock starting this game when it's the situation it's in. I think Pollock pinch hitting against Scherzer was his one last chance to say, look, I can still hit. And obviously, I don't think AJ Pollock is going to be bad forever. It reminds me a little bit of Curtis Granderson in the postseason a couple years ago, in that 2017 NLCS. Curtis Granderson could not hit. And then he has gone on and he's had a couple good seasons since then. He's still a productive baseball player, but in that series, he couldn't hit. And that's kind of what AJ Pollock's dealing with right now. And I just don't think the Dodgers can afford to hope that he figures it out. And I think I have to believe this is Dave Roberts. He's a player's manager. We know that. And he's not going to trash talk Pollock to the media. And so the easiest answer is, oh, yeah, we haven't decided yet. We don't know what we're doing. You know, even though Roberts knows Pollock's not starting. He just doesn't want to talk about that to the media. Because as soon as you say Pollock's not starting, well, then there's more questions, you know. And so I think this is just Dave Roberts being a good player's manager and saying the least offensive thing.
Yeah, I agree there.
The bigger questions, he also said he's not sure about, he did say Will Smith will start at catcher, but he said he's not sure about Matt Beatty and Gavin Lux. Tell me what your perfect lineup, not batting order, but just play, who's playing what position for you if you're making the lineup today?
Yeah, all right. So Smith behind the plate.
First of all, do you agree with that? Do you like that?
Yeah, I still agree with it. I know Russell Martin had the big game in game three, but I think Will Smith still presents a better option at the plate and behind the plate, especially with Buehler, who he hasn't really had issues with. So I agree with that. I'll go over the easy ones. Obviously, Turner at third, Seagrass short, Belly in center, Jock in right. And then this is where it gets a little bit tougher. I think I go Taylor in left, Muncy at second. Between Beatty and Freeze, I think Beatty will be in the lineup. And then they'll keep Freeze for later on. I know Freeze has the October glory and everything else behind him, and he's hit very well. But I don't know if they want him to see Strasburg three to four times.
Yeah, I'm torn on that too with Freeze because I like him off the bench because you can pick your spots. Although as we talked about yesterday, you know, maybe they don't always pick the right spots. I thought more about that, by the way, and I still find that pretty defensible, using Taylor instead of Freeze in that situation in game four. But back to game five, even though I like Freeze off the bench, I think he's a good matchup with Strasburg. Strasburg has a little bit of reverse splits. Freeze has never really been a big splits guy anyway. And so I feel like he's a good matchup. So I would go with Freeze at first, Muncy at second, and Beatty in left. Taylor, I'd save Taylor for a pinch hitting opportunity against somebody who's not as good as Steven Strasburg and hope that came up. So I think that's what I would go with. But Kike is an option too. He does have two homers in his career against Strasburg. That's the only two hits he's gotten off of him. He's 2-for-9 with 5 strikeouts. But, you know, he does have some history of success against him. And, you know, the big thing with Kike is which version of Kike do you get? Because he sometimes just chases that slider and or curve, you know, chasing pitches out of the zone. And obviously Strasburg has the potential to make guys chase out of the zone. So, but yeah, I think I'd go with Freeze at first and Beatty in left.
Yeah, I mean, either way you go about it, I think as long as Pollock is sitting, there's not really a, you know, completely wrong lineup right now.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's right. I guess we both agree Gavin Lux probably needs the game off. I do.
Yeah.
Think,
I mean, he's had good at bats, but like I said, the results aren't there. And right now, you know, you'd prefer to have some results instead of some good at bats.
Yeah. I think Lux is due for a good game sometime, but I'm just not ready to bet that it would be today, you know? And you keep him coming off the bench too, you know? There's a worse problem to have than Chris Taylor and Russell Martin and Gavin Lux and Kike Hernandez and whoever else. I don't know who the – oh, and A.J. Pollock.
No.
Yeah, I said Martin. But, yeah, there's worse problems to have than having those guys available off the bench. So I think the Dodgers are going to put up a good fight, and I think that they can make Strasburg throw some pitches, get him a little bit tired. Strasburg isn't quite the workhorse that Scherzer is. You know, I don't think Strasburg's not a guy you could think, oh, yeah, he'll go out and throw 110 pitches. Not that he can't, but he's not quite that whatever that Scherzer is. So, you know, and obviously Scherzer's going to be available out of the bullpen, I'm sure. But, you know, like I said on yesterday's episode, I felt like the Dodgers were seeing Scherzer okay, and I wouldn't, you know, obviously Scherzer's a great pitcher, but I feel like it's going to boil down to which team is better. And the Dodgers are a better team than the Nationals. I think Buehler can match Strasburg pitch for pitch. And it's going to come down to the fact that the Dodgers are a better team than the Nationals, and the Dodgers are going to win this. And I think the NLCS is going to be not easy, but easier than the NLDS was. And I think the Dodgers are going back to the World Series.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I definitely agree with that last part. This is definitely the tougher series. The toughest series they're probably going to have, well, at least in the NL side. But one thing... You know, a lot of people are counting on this experience to carry the Dodgers in this game five. You know, the Nationals, they have some guys that were just in the game. A lot of those guys were in the game five a couple years ago. Some of those guys have been in big games for other teams. I just don't see experience being the reason the Dodgers win.
Yeah.
It's basically going to come down to who the hell hits the ball.
Yep, absolutely. All right, well, now it's all over but the play-in, so that's going to wrap it up for us. Yeah, the game is today. It starts at what time?
5:37 Pacific Standard
5:37
Time.
Pacific Time. So that's you know, that's what we all have going on tonight, and we will be back tomorrow to talk about whatever happens, and I really hope it's not a depressing episode. But we also want to remind you that we are very excited about the launch of our newest sports channel on the Locked On Podcast Network, covering the NHL. As you know from listening to this show, our network is focused on local experts covering the biggest news, and now we're covering hockey with daily hockey podcasts. So check out the upcoming season preview for Locked On Kings that we will play right after this, and find your favorite NHL team on our website, lockedonpodcast.com/NHL. We'll also have more baseball news for you tomorrow, as we said. So, thank you all for listening. Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. If you don't use Apple Podcasts but you have access to it, please subscribe there. It helps other people find us. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. You can follow Vince on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. You can call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text anytime you want at 323-863-LOCK, L-O-C-K. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you will be too. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you later.
Have a good one.
If you're listening to this right now, then you already like sports. And perhaps even you already like Los Angeles sports. Then, oh boy, do I have something for you. My name is Sarah, and I am the host of Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network's new expansion into NHL programming. I'll be bringing you shows 5 days a week covering the two-time Stanley Cup champion Los Angeles Kings as they continue their rebuild in hopes of achieving that elusive third Stanley Cup. You already know how Locked On works and what we have to offer, so let me give you a quick preview instead of three things you can expect this season from the Kings. First, chaos. Think that's not something to look forward to? Think again. The Kings spent last year being, admittedly, totally inept. They couldn't score goals or keep themselves from being scored on. But this season, with a new coach who aims to hold players accountable for their work on and off the ice, the Kings are looking to at least improve on the scoring part. They scored 5 goals in their first game of the season, and while they still didn't win, for the first time in a long time, it looked like they could at least be entertaining. Of course, given that they scored 5 goals and still lost, defense looks like it's going to be a challenge. Second, we've got drama. Last season, there was an abrupt coaching turnover, an interim coach who was in over his head, and almost every single player on the roster underachieved. At the end of the season, one of the players called some of their efforts that year pathetic. How can the Kings even top that? I have no idea, but I am sure they're gonna try. Look, let's not kid ourselves. The Kings aren't expected to be very good this year. So that means a whole season of questions and speculation on who's going to leave the team via trades, and what kind of promising young players the team will receive back instead. And third, we've got some good old-fashioned rivalries. Even if the Kings struggle in the standings again this year, there's plenty of chances to cheer for them against their California competition, the Anaheim Ducks and the San Jose Sharks. And the newfound rivals, the Vegas Golden Knights, are already very easy to hate. Want to get a Kings fan mad? Then go talk about how Staples Center gets swarmed with Vegas fans every time the teams meet. If you have to hear one more time all of those people yelling "Night" during the national anthem, like, come on. Talk about a team you love to hate. When any of these teams meet, you can always look forward to tons of action and lots of bad blood. So I'll be keeping tabs on the Los Angeles Kings all season long, 5 days a week, bringing you shows all about the team, their prospects, and what to expect next from them. You can follow along at Locked On LA Kings on Twitter, and make sure you subscribe to Locked On Los Angeles Kings on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you find all of your favorite shows. Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.